This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably. What's goody, Hot Breathverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and our mission is to cultivate the next generation of self-made comics. And our guest today is a fan of the podcast who has taken what he's learned and built his own viral social media following where he is now selling out theaters. So you're going to learn a lot, not only about that early comedy hustle grind, how to find stage time, but also how to find your voice on social media and build a loyal fan base that's going to help you start selling out those venues that you aspire to. So all we ask in return for this amazing content is that you share it with your fellow comedians, with comedy fans that you know enjoy learning about comedy. Share it forward. Don't keep this show a secret. And if you want to learn more about how you can level up your own comedy game, we do have workshops and classes to help you level up in your own ways. But now, without further ado, there's only one thing left to do. And that is inhale a hot breath with Tamua Tuiye. I hope I said that right. So here we go. Hot Breathiverse. Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and my heart is smiling today because I've interviewed over 400 comedians, and I get contacted daily from comedians, like either just saying how much they love the show or asking for advice. This comic today, I went back and checked the DMs. He connected with me in February of 2020 when he was working on a podcast. Since then, he has now gone viral. He just sold out the Blaisdell Center in Hawaii, 2,100 people capacity. That's over 6,000 people that this cat, only 5 years into the comedy game, has sold out, and he's just getting started. So please welcome to the stage, Tamua. Hold on. I wrote this down. I didn't want to be the colonizer who mispronounced.
They just say my first name, so you don't have to say the last name if you don't want it.
Tuinea, correct?
Tuine.
Tuine. Oh, dude. Yeah. A couple of the interviews I researched you on, they mispronounced it, I'll say.
Probably, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, they just, Tamua is just my one name person. But thank you for having me, Joel.
I'm sorry, man. Like, the one thing I want to do is get your name right, and then now I look like,
well, you
a
got
white
it right
devil.
Just Tamua is that's people mispronounce that too, but you got it right.
Okay. Well, welcome to the Hot Breathiverse, my friend. It's so great to meet you virtually. I know we've been in contact. We even talked about it one time, I think this was pre-pandemic, about like me making a trip out to Hawaii and doing some shows,
yeah,
which we're still
going to
do.
We have a lot of venues. I mean, the Blue Note is a perfect club. You know, a lot of mainland comics come here and perform there, and just let me know. I mean, we can put something together.
I feel like that may have been, because, you know, I've been keeping up with you like since you DM'd me, and I was like, oh, this cat's onto something. I think you sold out the Blue Note. Mm-hmm. And then it's just grown from there. But I have seen your progression from like doing local shows, doing social media, to now selling out 2,100 people, dude, 5 years into comedy, the power of social media. This is the future. Like, you're a prime example of, like, I hate to say it for the purist out there, and I'll say I've been a comedian 12 years. So even when I started, social media wasn't around. This new wave of how to pursue comedy, and I've interviewed all the top like managers and agents and bookers, and they're all saying the game is now social media. And
yeah,
you've tapped into it, man. So congratulations to you. And
thank you.
Please give a little context here as we're welcoming people in. We already have some people asking questions, but please do just give a little context for kind of your journey to how you got to be on the Hot Breath podcast.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here. I mean, I told you before, I'm a fan of the podcast, and I would actually listen to a lot of your episodes and your guest comics, and and take the very helpful tips that I still use today into joke writing and being consistent. I'm still learning every day to be better, but pretty much, yeah, I started doing stand-up first before I did the videos because I took a stand-up comedy class at University of Hawaii in college. They had a class and I just took it just to get an easy A. And then for our final presentation of the semester, we had to perform 10 live minutes in front of an actual audience in this bar. And when I did it, the whole football team showed up. I was on the football team too. So the whole football team showed up and I crushed it. I killed it for 10 minutes. And then a comedy promoter saw me there. And then he kept inviting me to come back again and again. And I started opening for like comedians that would come down to Hawaii and doing small spots here and there. This is like my first year in. I only had maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes of material. And I'm just constantly doing that. And then when I built an hour, I did my first headlining show at this venue called Hawaiian Brian's. And that was like the same month that I graduated college. So at this time I was doing stand-up and football, Division I football, and just balancing the two things, you know, the two sports. I call them both sports because I sweat on stage a lot. And then and then from there, like I had this monthly spot I would do on the east side of the island. Every second Friday of the month I would headline, and they would have some local people coming here and there. And I kept doing this until 2020, until the pandemic. And then when March 2020, the pandemic hit real hard in Hawaii, everything shut down, you know? So I had that monthly spot, that closed, that restaurant and that golf course. It was at a golf course. It shut down. And all these other small shows, we would have like weekly comedy shows in Hawaii that shut down too. And I was just at home thinking like, well, what am I going to do now? I mean, this is what I always wanted to do. Do I just not do anything or do I try to figure out something? So I put out this this viral video of this toilet paper dealer, like a drug dealer toilet paper is a hot topic at the time. Uh-huh. And I put that video out, and that day I put it out, it made it on the local news on TV. And it actually made it to like the New Zealand news too. Like this viral hog or this company like bought the video from me because they were so invested in it. And I just sold it to them just because I was like, I'm not making money anyhow. So I just sold it just for like $300 or whatever.
What?
But yeah, they paid for that first video I put up. But I never sold any other videos. I it's better to just keep them now and get paid with the views now that I'm like monetized on YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from there I was like, okay, this is what the people of Hawaii want. They want these skits, you know. So I started putting out more and more skits and kind of geared more towards the local audience. And it just kept going viral in the islands, you know, and my followers kept growing and growing and growing. And then when we finally got the green light to do live shows again in Hawaii, I had just put up two shows at the Blue Note. This was like October of 2020. And as soon as I put it on sale, it sold out within like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And this is the capacity. It was like 200 people per show. So the two shows sold out in 10 minutes. And then so we added another two and another two and another two. And I ended up doing 18 shows in a row at Blue Note.
What?
So, yeah. So, and then so that's when me and my manager were like, oh, you can actually like do the Blaisdell now. Cause like all these people were just coming out for that. And yeah, after I did the Blue Note, I mean, then we put on the Blaisdell for sale. And the first show is 2,100 people at the Blaisdell Theater. And yeah, that sold out in an hour. And so we added a second show the week after that. And that one sold out in an hour too. Oh. And then we added a third show. And then that one didn't sell out the day of, but it eventually sold out as the weeks came closer to the show. So we did three shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday in December 2021. And yeah, it was just happening so quick. And like, big time comedians were noticing it. I mean, I talked to Joe Coy and he gave me a shout out on social media. Bert Kreischer, Ronnie Ching, too. All these guys, I mean, it's crazy that they're like my idols that I looked up to, you know, and then now just performing at some of the venues that they performed at, and it's all happening so quick. And it's all thanks to social media. Like you said, it's the new marketing these days, you know, and we didn't do it any promoter, no big promotion company, just me and my manager just put it up on social media and it sold. So, and I'm still growing, you know, with comedy and learning, you know, different strategies and how to, you know, maintain an audience for a full hour and all that. So my plans coming up is I'm going to do some comedy in the mainland. So where are you at right now? Where are you located?
I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay.
So I'm on the East Coast.
I'm just doing mostly West Coast. So right now. So, I mean, strong, what was that?
Who knows though, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
who knows? Yeah. Yeah. Well, right now I'm just hitting all the strong Hawaiian population. So Vegas is huge. There's a lot of Hawaii people there, Vegas, Utah, you know, Seattle, Portland, you know, some spots in California and Irvine,
and
San Francisco,
year?
San Jose. This year, yeah. So starting in April or the ending of March, but we got some places booked already. But once I have it all booked, I'm gonna announce some dates. So
Let's keep in touch on that, because I've been looking to make a trip out to Vegas because I've been contact. Do you know Laugh After Dark? Have you heard of that show they do in Vegas? It's called Laugh After Dark.
No.
Well, they're now like producing like comedy specials and stuff. But I've been in contact with them about doing an interview. So maybe there's a way to parlay a double dip in there.
Yeah. You
know? So we'll see what's goody there.
It's like all these other spots are easy to find, like venues, but Vegas is tough because there's so many spots, so many clubs, and you don't know which one to pick, and it's kind of expensive there too. But that's definitely, you know, one of the main spots I want to hit just because of the Hawaii population there. And that's probably the most requested spot I've gotten so far, is to come to Vegas and perform. So I'm excited for that and excited to get my feet wet in the mainland. We call it the mainland, us local people here. So
yeah, that's crazy to think 5 years and you're doing an hour show. And I saw in like your promo for the Blaisdell, like showing like that sellout and everything, that it looked like you had a t-shirt cannon. Did you maybe have a friend? Like, did your openers come back on stage with you? Did you guys do something together? Like,
yeah. So
I'm just saying, 5 years in, dude, to do an hour, like,
yeah. So
that is a long time for people that don't understand comedy.
Yeah,
like, that's no joke.
Well, I started doing an hour. Like, my first time I did an hour was a year in, but I would say it wasn't as strong as how it is now. You know, sure. Like just making it more tight and just. Yeah, so that was a t-shirt cannon. So I was shooting out my merch at the end, some t-shirts just to make them excited.
Yeah.
And then I think you saw my friend Josh Totofi. So he's actually a musician here in Hawaii, and he's really popular. So I had him backstage, and then he just sang one song at the end just as a surprise for the audience. But you should check him out too. He has a couple Grammy nominations, and he's pretty popular.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's why you probably saw that in the video. But yeah, 5 years. And I mean, just like I said, this is, people don't really know that that's actually real young in the comedy years, you know, and people are still, and I'm still learning as myself. I'm getting more comfortable with crowd work. I try to do that a lot too. Just seeing Andrew Schultz and all these guys, Russell Peters and how they do that. But yeah, still learning everything and taking it all in like a sponge.
So for social media, for the social media grind here, and for people watching live, do comment with your questions, and I'm happy to get to your questions as well. But like, how, when you, social media is so much about consistency. And I remember in your early grind, like every time I opened social media, it felt like I was seeing you doing another skit. So it's how, as me being a comedian, sometimes I'll go on a run for like a week or two, and I was like, this is the time I do social media. And then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, I miss post here, I miss a post there. Like, how are you able to keep up consistency, even if maybe it's like not like quote working?
I would like try to give myself like a timeline. So back in when I first started pumping out lots of videos, I would try to post a video like every 4 or 5 days. I would have something, and these videos would be not just short 30-second videos. It would actually be like, you know, 2 to 3 minute videos. And the hardest part is just editing, you know. So I mean, like Charlie Burns, you said, you know, like I give him props because every time I open up my feed too, he has a video every day, a new video, you know, so it's tough. I mean, the editing process is hard because you sit there for hours just trying to get the perfect cut in. And even if you put the subtitles up, that's a headache too, but it's all worth it, you know. And I really enjoyed, you know, editing and the tech side of of making videos and all that. So I guess I had a timeline. So every 4 or 5 days I'll put up a video, and that would kind of, you know, force me to do that. Now I probably do it maybe like once a week, maybe, you know, I try to do once a week. I got to post one soon, but it's tough. But I, like, there's two sides of my comedy, like my skits and my stand-up. Like my skits, I really don't write anything down for that. I just have the idea in my head or the premise or the character I want to portray. And then I just get my friend or whoever I'm doing the video with and just have the camera rolling and just improv right there. And I just cut and take the best parts and just chop it up into like a 2-minute video and post that, you know.
Hey, so you do it all yourself, though? You do the editing and all that?
Everything, yeah, everything myself.
Wow.
Even all my comedy flyers, I edit them all and do all that. All the press release all through me.
Yeah, comedians nowadays, I mean, you're like your own media company. Like, we not only have to learn marketing, stand up, but market ourselves, create our own content, editing it. Like, all that plays into being, I think Giannis Pappas said that on this podcast, was like, it's no longer enough just to be a stand up. He's like, you have to be everything now.
Yeah, I do everything. And then my manager, he's a great help too. And he just helps me book the venues and negotiate deals and does all the business side. But yeah, all the editing and the editing videos is where you put in the most time, I believe.
How do you come up with ideas for your videos? Do you like have like a brainstorming session where you think about a bunch of videos and then you record them all at once? Or are you more kind of shooting from the hip based on what you think of?
Yeah, just whatever comes into my head first. I mean, before I would do like you said, a couple of videos in one session and then slowly, you know, post it. That's probably the best way to do it. And it shows that you're pumping out videos weekly. But now it's just like, whenever I have an idea, I try to find the location that I can film it at. And then bring my friends or whoever that I have in to want to be in the video and just do it right there. It's tough. Like I did a video in Costco, like how it is like shopping in Costco, and that one we just rushed it and just did it in the store without asking for permission. But like people recognize me in Hawaii a lot, and so they were all okay with it. The workers were fine with it, and they're even asking to be in the video too. So I mean, that's because people ask, I go, how do you get access to all these places? And I honestly just do it, you know. Sometimes they might get in trouble, but I can't mention that right now. But
you got in trouble? Have you gotten in trouble?
A few times, yeah, but nothing major. Just like, oh, you can't film in here. Or
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. But yeah, Hawaii is very supportive. It's a great community. I mean, we live on an island, so it's just us here. But whenever they see like a local boy, you know, succeeding and doing well, they always want to support. And that's what I love about this place, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing for like comics to find wherever they're from, or like finding out. It's like you mentioned Charlie Behrens earlier, who I had on here, and he goes viral all the time being a Midwest comic. So he he found like a specific audience to cater to. And that seems to be, the internet's infinite. Social media is infinite. Yep. So instead of trying to entertain everyone, you've really got to figure out like who is your audience and just cater to that, and it'll grow from there.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was talking to my friend, Sean Felipe. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
He's a Filipino comedian, but he's from Hawaii, but he's in San Francisco right now, just doing comedy. He does cruise ships for a living. So he does comedy on there. So the underground comedians, but he's real funny, but he's been doing it for a while too. And he told me he realized that like Netflix or all the big time bookers and companies, they don't want to see the typical white or black comedian, you know. They want to see the unique comedian.
I picked like a great time to be a comedian. Straight white guys are over, man.
But it makes sense. It makes sense what you said about Charlie, and like because I tell people that like how I don't know how I'm gonna do it like in the mainland or the West Coast, but he told me, like, don't change a thing. Just still do your Hawaii style comedy. Your fans, you have a fan base. They're going to come to you no matter what. And it's going to grow. And I believe that's what Joe Coy did with his Filipino community, you know, and he grew, and he's one of the top comedians right now. And he has, I think he made, like, I forget, they had that ranking for like the top tours of 2021, and he was like number 5 or something, like including with all musicians and everything. So he's up there, you know. So I'm just gonna stay true to my Hawaii people and branch out from there. But
what would you recommend for a comic wanting to, like, start? It's like for like a comic like me who's like, okay, now's the time. I'm hearing this interview. I'm inspired. I'm going to now take social media by storm. Like, how would you, just like on stage as a comedian, you have to find your voice. I think there's a voice on social media. Like, what kind of tips do you have for finding your voice on social media?
I guess just finding your niche, you know, like what works. I think in the beginning, TikTok was big during 2020 when the pandemic first hit. So I was on TikTok too, and I was doing what everybody tries to do, just those cringy trends and all that. And and it didn't do well, you know. It didn't
mine
do well
never so, do either. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's not working. I kind of like put that to the side. And then when I did you know, more like local Hawaii things that, you know, like only Hawaii people would understand, then it got a little spark, and I was like, oh, okay. And then so I kind of just geared it towards that character, kind of like Charlie. Like, he has that Midwest character, and then I just have that, you know, Hawaii local boy character. You know, he's kind of stupid, just, you know, not afraid to do anything. But it's all similar, like Desi Banks does, like the hood guys for the Black community, and even like for white people, like rednecks. They're all, it's all similar, you know. It's all it's very, very similar. And you just got to find what works with you, you know? So, like I was there too. I was throwing up whatever, you know, hits the fan or whatever. And I landed a spot with my local niche, and Hawaii people is pretty much my fan base. So I say, just keep trying whatever works.
Yeah, it hurts though. And in those early stages, like you said, you're throwing stuff up. It's like, you're just like, oh, what do you mean my first video didn't go viral? It's like, through that process of throwing stuff up, like, was there something that kept you motivated, or you just were just like, I mean, I'm doing this because I have no choice. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Probably like stand up, because I feel like the difference with like us, like people who actually do stand up and like social media, because I know a lot of guys who just do social media videos or they're trying to do that, and they don't do stand up. So, I mean, my main goal was, like, I'm sure that's your goal too, is just to make it as a stand-up comedian. So I was just doing these videos to help push my stand-up career. And like, I would have, you know, a small fan base before I went viral with social media. Like, I had about maybe like 4,000 or 5,000 followers on Instagram. So like, and I had that monthly show I had that I mentioned, but nothing as compared to now. And that's all from with social media. So stand-up was my motivation, and it just kept me, you know, to keep pursuing and keep trying. And I was just thinking, okay, if these videos don't work, then I'm just going to just go harder and stand up, you know. But
yeah, so it's like remembering, what you're doing it for. It's like,
what you're doing it for,
Not doing it for like a quick hit, but I'm really doing it to pursue my dream of being a comedian, and this is part of it.
Yeah, because some people are doing it to get popular and famous on social media, but I was doing it to get more people at my shows, you know. So yeah, just know your reason why you're doing it, I guess, it would help with your motivation.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot like you, and I don't think a lot of people that want to pursue comedy, and I'm actually, David asked a good question here, but like, this is leading to that, but it is like the grind of being a comedian. You know, for me, it was, you know, working a day job and then being out till 1 a.m. doing shows and then being back at that day job the next day. For you, you were doing football, then school, and then doing comedy at night, and just rinse and repeat that cycle, you know? Yeah. So that's the grind of comedy. I don't think people really understand that it requires, you don't just wake up on Netflix. Like, there's a lot of sacrifice involved.
Yeah, it is. And it's funny, because I just watched your video you posted on YouTube about your saying that you had a show coming up in 2 days, and And it was nine tickets. Did you film? Yeah. Did that show happen?
It did happen. My wife got sick that day. So I had to find a guest host real quick, but we ended up, it's a show at a brewery. So we ended up getting about 45 people in there, and the capacity is like 60 in there. So
that's great. That's sold out.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
Nine tickets is considered sold out too with COVID restrictions. So you're good.
I was super happy with it. But yeah, someone else asked me, they're like, did you have any footage of the show? And literally my wife got sick that day and I had to stay home, you know, for the fam, you know, that's part of my parameters I set as a comedian and like pursuing this as a career is like, for me, family is still a very important factor of this journey. And I'm not,
I'm
not someone. Yeah. Every decision I make is also with my family in mind in terms of like, okay, how will this affect how long I'm away from my family? That's going to affect the pay. You know, like if someone asks me for a gig on the road, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be traveling this much. I'm going to be missing X, Y, and Z with my family. So it's going to be this price. And I always bake that into any of my decisions now is like, my family
that's
is a
what
big
I'm
part of it.
Starting to realize too, like the more business side of gigs, like as you do bigger shows, and it's a whole nother level, like putting on those Blaisdell shows. And it's such a headache because we didn't do it with a promoter. So we paid for the expenses ourselves, and it's just like, you got to pay for the union dues, like the lighting guy, the audio guy, security, ushers, police. There's so much that goes on into one big production, you know? So, but it was all fun, and it was a great process to see the behind the scenes of the business work. And like you said, social media is everything. Like bookers, they don't like, I feel like today they don't really care if you're funny or not. They just want to see like how much followers you have, if you can put people in the seats, and then they'll book you, you know. But if you do bad, then they probably won't book you again. But everything is social media these days.
So did you have to, with that Blaisdell show, did you have to rent it and then start selling tickets, or did you?
Yeah.
You
so we rented it. Yeah. Rented it.
So you had to put all that up front and then be like, oh, I hope I sell these.
Yeah. Well, pretty much. Yeah. Some of it was up front. Yeah. But they usually take a cut from it at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess there's different deals for different, whatever.
But you gotta get approved. Like you can't just have anyone go up and rent it, but like you gotta have some credibility, you know? So when they seen like the 18 sold out shows at Blue Note, you know, and that added up to more than 2,100 people. So it made sense to put on a show, but they weren't open. Like Blaisdell wasn't open because of the pandemic, and they weren't doing that big of a show with that much people until like right around like the month before my show, they gave the green light. So the tickets was on sale while it was still closed. So like 100% capacity. It was like, I put it on sale while it was closed. So it was almost like a gamble. Like are they even going to be allowed to have this much people in December? You know, like even Gabriel Iglesias, he was supposed to perform last week here in Hawaii, but they made that new rule where they can't go anything more than 1,000 people. So he had to postpone his show. And I think he's coming back in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's crazy. COVID is nuts. Like, ruining us big time.
My January was all canceled. Like I have a fundraiser show at the end of this month, but like, I was like, all right, 2022, here we go, baby.
Yeah.
Just like 2020, I was going to be a touring headliner, and then that went away overnight. And then now 2022, I was like, we're coming back. And then it was like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing Maui next month at the Castle Theater, which is a different island than Oahu, but that one's like sold out already too. There's only single seats left, but they might postpone it if they don't allow, you know, that much people, but hopefully it still goes, you know.
What was it? Tell me the feeling. Like, I want to live vicariously through you, because I've killed in front of 1,500 people, and that was for like 15 minutes. Like, for you to like 2,100 people that came to see you, like just that, I can't. I mean, I'm sure you're still buzzing from it, but like, what was that experience like, being 5 years in? You made this happen, you know, like this is your show, 2,100 people. Like, what was that feeling?
It was a crazy feeling. I mean, when I first put the show on sale and seen the tickets disappear in front of my eyes on Ticketmaster. Uh-huh. You can see the dots disappear, you know, when you click the whenever you buy a show. And like that was surreal at that moment, you know, and my parents and my family was all tripping out on it. And the first night, I remember Friday night, December 10th, and walking out on that stage and hearing the 2,100 people that all came for me. It was such a crazy experience. And I was just so thankful and blessed. And I was telling my manager after the show, like, it honestly felt like any other show that I've done for some reason. It didn't feel like, because it's just so dark out there too. Like if you look in the theater, I mean, I've done theater shows before, but same like you just opening, but just to have your own fans come to your show and purely just off of social media is a crazy experience. But then again, it's just comedy and it's just another show, you know. But it is on a bigger level. And I mean, I got some tips from other comedians of telling me how to pace myself more because it's a bigger venue and, you know, your sound travels slower. So, you know, you can't talk too fast and you got to let the laughs ride and look up a lot too, because there's people in the balcony and, uh-huh. and it's just different. Yeah. And then kind of pace yourself across the whole stage. I mean, there's little tips here and there that would make it more better and more crisp. But yeah, it's such a crazy experience and I'll never forget it. And I'm just thankful for having it and thankful for the people of Hawaii for supporting me.
Were you like, feel like you were like electrified, like that high after a show? Like we all chase it for like, that's, we love comedy because you get high from it, but I can't imagine. Yeah. You must have, that was like pure.
I was really nervous before, but then after, you know, that first few laughs I got in the beginning, it went away and I just started to enjoy it. And then after that first show, I was like, okay, I want to do this again. Yeah. Can't wait for tomorrow for the second show. Yeah, and then the third show, you know? Yeah.
Probably floating. You can't tell me nothing. You know who I am?
Yeah.
So dope.
It was fun. It was great, you know? And we're planning to do the arena this year at the end of the year. So, but that also means I got to flip a whole new hour of material.
Just do crowd work. Tough.
I don't know how those like Joe Coy them or the big time comics, they produce new hours of material like every year or 2 years, because we know it takes multiple years to get a polished hour act, you know. Yep. So,
and a lot of stage time.
A lot of stage time. Yeah, but yeah, you gotta think these guys are headlining like, you know, six shows a week. So they're probably writing new material on stage as they do it too. So,
yeah. And you can weave it in, you know, if you're like going on tour, you know, you can always couch some newer stuff in, or, you know, not necessarily do all new, but find moments to try something new. And then if it doesn't work, you go back to what works. You know, you can always kind of weave in newer material to test it out without really the show suffering for it, you know?
That's what I did, like at Blue Note, or like when I had that monthly spot, I would kind of weave in the new material and just test it out right there. Because mm-hmm. like, then again, it's your fans too, so they might laugh at no matter what you say, but you are performing for your audience. But yeah, it's good to just try out new material on stage.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, they're there to see you, so you do get some leeway there as well.
Yeah,
they're just like, oh my gosh. It's him from the screen.
But you still got to be funny, though.
Yes. Know? Oh, yeah. No, it's not easy. Yeah, I was not implying that, like, oh, you got it easy now, man. No, definitely not. Let's see. David Araki. Mm-hmm. Sounds like he's in Hawaii. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he asks, what was your journey in comedy like starting in Hawaii? Do you have any tips for people starting out in Hawaii?
Oh, I took the comedy class at my college, University of Hawaii. I think that's they don't have it anymore. I don't think they have any classes in Hawaii, but that really helped me a lot. And I wasn't expecting to actually perform in the class. I thought it was just like learning about stand-up comedy and the history about it. They actually made you go to open mics throughout the semester and like have the owner of the mic or the restaurant or whatever to sign off a slip that you perform. So that was a requirement of the class, or else you would fail the class. So I would say just get out and find open mics, you know. The hardest part is starting. I know Joel probably agrees with that too. Yep. But I get so much people come up to me and say, "No, I want to do stand up. I want to. What do you want me to do?" And I said, "Just go to an open mic." And the first thing they say is, "Oh, I don't know if I'm ready. I'm scared, or I only have 2 minutes." Or just the main thing is just get up there, even if you don't have anything to say. I feel like the first time, just riff or just say something for 2 or 3 minutes and just get used to being on stage. You know, that's the how to start it off.
Yeah. Starting is the hardest part. Yeah. I say that all the time. And I guess if David's looking for stage time in Hawaii, like, is there like a Facebook group or like a calendar somewhere of the shows or.
Yeah. There's a Facebook, Hawaii Comedians, or they have a bunch of Hawaii Comedians, or I think it's just Hawaii Comedians on Facebook. They have a bunch of weekly shows there. You can hit up one of the comedy promoters on there. And there's a show. If you're ever in Hawaii, David, but I think every Wednesdays there's open mic. So tonight there's an open mic after their feature show at Anna O'Brien's, which is in town. This Irish pub bar.
Oh, I love it.
If you're in Hawaii, David. So yeah, you can even come out tonight. Check it out. 3 minutes.
He may just get on stage. Oh, I didn't mean tonight. I didn't mean, yeah, that's how do you start in comedy? We get on stage. What it mean? You know, comedy.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Come right now. I'll sign you up.
Yeah, you told me there's a few Hawaiian comics that like this show. So, you know, you never know who's listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this show's a great resource too. If you're like wanting to start out in comedy, you know, we have a lot of episodes about, you know, how to write jokes and YouTube videos about that. So, I mean, if you just go on YouTube and search a question, chances are like we've from Hot Breath have made a video about it or a podcast about it. So yeah, tap into the Hot Breathiverse here too. Jordan asking, he didn't say, when are you? I think he said it with a little attitude. He goes, when you coming to Cali?
Okay. I'm doing a show in Irvine, April 2nd at Irvine Barclay Theater. So,
Theaters?
Small theaters.
Little flex, you know? But whenever you say 100. Theater, though, it's like, you know, that's.
Yeah, you got to say the theater in it, yeah. How much does it hold? 20 people.
It's in the parking lot of the theater, but it's still the theater. Yeah.
Yeah. It's at the theater, but it's in the, you know, the ticket box office. Just
So April 2nd.
April 2nd, yeah. It's going to go on sale hopefully in February, but we already got that spot booked. So, all the guys out there, all the local people, you guys can come make it to that.
Yeah, and anyone that listens to this podcast, if you see that Tamu is going to be in your area, pull up and let them know the Hot Breathiverse is out here supporting. We have Ben Webb here. He asks, what is one thing you have learned doing comedy that you have carried over and applied to your own life?
I would say never giving up. You know, I mean, there was a few times where I bombed in the beginning of my career and I really questioned myself, like, oh, is this for me? You know, I'm sure you had that too. All us comics
for sure
has those big bomb stories.
Yep.
But yeah, I would say never giving up, but I kind of flip it, because coming from an athlete background, and just learning about consistency and integrity and all that, I use that to help with my comedy. So I take my sports background and the way I would, you know, train for football constantly, and I kind of use it in comedy, and, you know, using my effort and being consistent, trying to write every day. You know, I mean, I'm still struggling with that. I'm sure a lot of comics are, but yeah, you still do the Write 10 club
every day. Yeah. I don't go live every day.
Oh, okay. I remember I tuned in a few times, but it's always like 4 a.m. over here because of the time difference.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Every day, dude, I did that for over 400 days in a row.
Wow.
I was live every day.
5 hours of material.
Dude, it was so much. Like, well, I mean, they're not all great. They weren't all great. Yeah. I think the
I ended up crying on one of them. I had like a mental breakdown. I was like, all right, I need to reassess what I'm doing here. I was like just drained. But yeah, I used to do that every day, but we still do it in the Facebook group. I'll go live every Wednesday and do a live stream, but every day we post a new word in there as like a writing prompt to get the juices flowing.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, group that you got there, the Write 10 Club. And
I appreciate it.
It really helps with the creativity and gets you writing. Like you're probably not going to use that joke in your set, but at least you have your pen in your hand and you're like, oh, I'm going to start writing now and do
exactly
my own stuff.
And that's what I use it for. Yeah. Like the vast majority of jokes I've written doing that Write 10 exercise, which if you're listening and you haven't heard of this, it's like, you get a random word and then 10 minutes to write a joke using that word. Mm-hmm. And it's just a good exercise. Yep. It's a good warm-up exercise before you actually maybe start getting into your material, you know? So if you're looking for, you want to write every day, a great way to do that is just join our Facebook group and then look at the word, write a joke with it. And then that kind of, you're like, oh, okay. I started writing and I can build on that momentum. You know, it's just a way to like, write without like thinking or really having to like beat
or
yourself
have you
up
ever
to do it.
Have you ever done those? Some clubs do it. We do it here in Hawaii where it's like improv on the stand up on the spot. We call it stand up on the spot, where they would have they'd put up a random word behind you and you got to come up with a bit on stage in front of a live audience.
I did a few
of those and they're fun. They're scary. You know, you don't know, you don't have anything. You just see the word. Okay, I'm going to try to come up with something. But that's also like, that can also spark some creativity or motivation to mm-hmm. write something. But that really puts you into like the fight or flight mode and on stage, and what are you going to do to win this audience, you know, without no material.
And a big thing as well is like accountability or some sort of like, you know, our Facebook group is now almost 5,000 comedians around the world. Not only doing the Write 10 Club, but motivating each other, answering each other's questions, really just supporting each other. So it's like anytime a comic is feeling unmotivated, like, you know, jumping into that group and connecting with someone, and people make a lot of friends in there. And that it can be difficult because like we want to write every day, but when it's just you, then it's some days you may not feel like it. And if you miss one day, it turns into a month very quickly, you know, but. You with the sports background, you know, I mean, you know, I played D3 football, so, you know, I know what it's like to play.
Oh, you did? Would you play receiver?
I don't. I used to be like 240. I was a DN.
Oh, really? Oh, he's DN. Wow.
Ooh, don't make me come off the edge with a little dipping rip now. Don't make me do a little dipping rip on you.
How tall are you?
I was slow. I was six. I'm 6'4".
Oh wow! Shoot. You're same size as my dad. Well, I'm 5'9". I'm still waiting for my growth spurt.
How old are you?
25.
But your dad played in the NFL, right? And your uncle?
Yeah, they both played. So I mean, they're both well known in Hawaii too. So I mean, I had that, you know, that expectations of just being in the NFL or following in their footsteps. And I did. I mean, my dad played at UH, University of Hawaii, and I wanted to follow in his footsteps. And I've gone there. I never play as much as I wanted to play, but I still was on special teams and I still traveled with the team. So that was good memories and just being around with the boys and traveling every other week, you know, good to get out of Hawaii. And that's actually where I found comedy. So I could have easily went to a D3 school, I feel like, and play a lot more in the mainland, but I decided to stay home. I walked on. I ended up getting a scholarship my junior year.
Ooh, nice.
So that was great. Yeah. And I just was doing that and comedy, you know?
Oh yeah. Jordan says, Bose represent.
Oh, I guess. Is he a fellow alumni?
I don't know. He says Bose. Do you say Bose for short or did he just?
Yeah. So they're known as the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah. But do you say Bose?
Bose.
Is that like
Go Bose? Yeah,
ooh,
that's
go Bose.
Go Bose.
Oh, dude. Mel Girl here said we went to the Blaisdell show and it was awesome.
Oh, right on. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and she asked, "When are you?" Oh gosh, I don't want to. I feel like a colonizer trying to say words. I just
is there a way I can see the comments too or no?
They're on YouTube. So
oh, YouTube.
Yeah, they're on our YouTube channel. So if you like pull it up on YouTube, you can see comments.
Hmm.
When are you gonna Hanahu on Oahu?
When are you gonna try to spell the word?
Hanahou.
Oh, Hanahou. So Hanahou means like, you know, that's like, it's similar to encore that they yell out in the crowd.
Okay.
They say Hanahou, Hanahou. That means they want you to come again, you know. So they say, well, I'm gonna come back on Oahu. So yeah, so I'm gonna actually come back to the Blaisdell, aiming in November. So November time, I'm gonna be back. After the tour. So
wow.
I will announce the date soon, but yeah, just keep the month of November open.
That's very nice. Look, you got fans in here. This is so cool. Yeah, and Jordan said his mom is an alum from Pearl City.
Okay. Right on.
I don't know where any of that is. I'm not sure. But
it's all cities in Hawaii.
So what do you think, like, how with where you're at in your career now, it's like, I don't know, you like build on social media and then you like sell at the Blaisdell three times and now you're looking for the mainland. Like how far down the road are you looking now? It's almost like at a point now as like a chameleon looking on, it's like, oh man, he made it. He did it. He built a following and he's selling out venues now. It's like, so how far down the line are you looking? What are you aspiring to like to do with what you've built here?
Well, part of the reason why I wanted to get into comedy was to be an actor. I always wanted to act, and that's why I minored in theater at UH2, University of Hawaii. And I felt like comedy is the quickest way to acting. If you look at a few of the big time actors, they all started off in comedy. You know, Adam Sandler, even Tom Hanks. A lot of people don't know that, but he started off as a stand-up comedian. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so all these guys. And I actually did. I got a speaking role on NCIS Hawaii.
The photographer.
Yeah. And it all started as one of the writers were fans of me and followed me on social media. And then they reached out to me and said, oh, we have a role for you if you want to audition for it. So hoping to do more acting roles and just continue to tour and do bigger venues in the mainland and just spread out my fans and my followers and just grow. You know, I'm just taking it one step, one year at a time.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So you're building an empire here. Okay. I see what you're doing here. I see what you're doing. And I think that's a big thing you said, just for Ben asking something you learned in comedy that you carried over and applied to your life. I think for me, the big thing was like resilience. And it's like, well, if I can bomb, then mm-hmm. I can handle sitting in this traffic jam or something. Like it really adds a lot of context to just like what is a dire situation, what you're just being dramatic about. Like, I think everyone should try stand up. Anyone who's ever thought about it should at least scratch that itch and get on stage at least once just to know, because it really, it's like just your survival instincts kick in. Like it's just you up there and your words, and you've got to entertain strangers. You know, that you learn a lot about yourself just through that process.
Mm-hmm. That's the second greatest fear in the world. I mean, after death, right? Mm-hmm. Is it first, public speaking?
I've heard it's up there. I've heard
it's up there. Yeah.
So it's worth trying out for anyone. And David said, I'm in Hawaii and we'll be out tonight. It'll be my fourth time up.
Oh, he's going to go up? Oh, right on.
He's going to do it. All right, then. So what would you say as we start to land this plane here, like, What kind of advice would you have just for the comedians in general? Because honestly, like, you're the new blueprint. It's no longer like Bert Kreischer. Like you said, he reached out to you when you sold out to Blaisdell. He's in that old school of like, grind it out on the road for 20 years, mm-hmm. and then maybe you'll make it type deal. Mm-hmm. And it worked out for him. Thanks to social media, though. He went viral on Facebook, the machine story. But the new wave is, it's what you're doing 5 years in, and boom, you're selling out three times. Selling out. It's just incredible, dude. So like, for a comedian starting out here and they see that social media is the way, like what kind of advice that maybe you've had to learn the hard way, a few things that maybe you could bestow upon comedians here?
Just never quit, never give up. There's many comedians that I know that stopped trying because they didn't go viral, or they didn't find their voice, or they never get their big break. Just keep trying. I feel like now is the fastest and easiest way to go viral is through TikTok, honestly. So much people gain followers on TikTok, and because the algorithm is that they send it out to, you know, not just your followers, but everyone. It's just, I don't know the exact, it might even be fake because it's a Chinese company, but I don't know.
I don't know what's going on over there. I'm still halfway scared, but I'm on there. So it's like too late. Yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do it, but I was like, dude, you're on there. It's like, it's too late if they got you.
No, yeah, TikTok is awesome. I mean, that's probably the quickest way, but my best advice would be don't give up and stay consistent on social media. Be true to your fans, interact with them more. I got a lot of advice from, you know who Vegas Dave is?
No.
Yeah, he's a sports bettor guy, but you could check him out on Instagram. But
yeah,
he's telling me, you know, some tips on social media and just to be interactive with your fans, train them, and know, like, just like how you have a consistent thing of going live every Wednesday, you know, that's, I got to try to do something like that, to have a schedule that would train my followers to be like, okay, I got to tune in to, you know, the hot breath at Wednesday, you know, so be consistent, find a schedule that fits for you. Back when I was pumping out videos, I would try to do one every 4 days at the most, twice a week, you know, it'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how those guys do it, like Charlie Behrens, and post out every day. That's a lot of, I think they film it all one time and then does it. Yeah, that's the only way I can think of doing that. But yeah, you can just be consistent and just keep trying. Don't give up. I would say don't overuse yourself, though. I mean, it's okay to say no sometimes for people requesting some things, you know. You don't want to make them tired of you, you know. Don't overpost. Don't like post like four times a day, because then it's just like, what are you doing, you know? But yeah, like, be consistent. And like, there's a few times where I would have a video and I would be like, oh, this is not funny, I'm not gonna post it. Like, I wasted all this time editing it and not posting it. But wow, I would say just post it. Like, you know, you're not gonna have your best video every single time. Just like, I know you mentioned it, like the joke ratio. If you write 20 jokes, only two of them is going to be really funny, right? You know, so not every video is going to go viral. So just keep pumping them out, but don't put out too much, you know. But if you don't think it's funny, it might be funny to other people. So just put whatever you can and just don't give up.
Yeah, it's kind of like you hear a lot of like famous musicians say the song that blew up was the song they weren't even going to release. They were just like,
yeah. What? So like, I made this video on YouTube, this Halloween video with my friend.
Oh, it has 11 million views or something crazy.
11
like
million
that.
Views. Yeah. And that was the least video I've ever thought. I didn't even post it on Instagram or Facebook, because I was like, this is not funny for Instagram. Like, my fans are not going to laugh at this. But so I just put it up on YouTube, and it blew up, 11 million views. I don't know how. I'm guessing it has to do with the Dallas Cowboys, because I did a joke about Dallas Cowboys on there.
Oh, interesting.
So it was a lot of like the sports fans kind of saw that and was doing that, because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, you know. So I was kind of ragging on them, but this is our year. Every year is our year, but this year is our year.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Because I did see that one had 11 million. And that's funny that, yeah, you didn't even expect it to.
Didn't expect it. And I wasn't even trying to, like, you know, make it universal so that everyone would understand this video. Like, I still was doing my same Hawaii style pigeon, you know, accent and all that. Yeah. And it still blew up. And
and you made it,
and
with
it's crazy because I wasn't monetized by then. If I was monetized on YouTube,
Oh, because you didn't have enough subscribers.
I didn't have enough subscribers back then. Yeah. But then that video kind of like gained me a lot of subscribers. Yeah. So now I'm monetized and I still got to learn how to use YouTube better. You know, I just post the same video on all platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. But I got to make videos like more specific to each platform. I think that's what I got to work on now, because no sense posting the same video on every platform.
Well, yeah, learn from the people that are, you know, Charlie Behrens is a great example of someone who's been able to go across multiple platforms and really like build up. Desi Banks, another one, you know. So yeah,
I'm impressed with him because he hasn't been doing stand up for a while either.
Yeah,
but I think he has over 1 million followers, almost 2 million, I guess. But like everyone knows him, and a lot of big time celebrities are like shouting him out and all that, and that's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I think when I interviewed him, he had maybe been doing stand-up like 2 years at that point.
He's headlining already too. And
yeah,
touring.
He's headlining. He's selling like theaters, out everywhere he goes. You know, like he's killing it. He's definitely of that social media generation of like he blew up and is now like figuring out stand-up. But
but he was on Vine first, right?
Yeah, he was on Vine first and then blew up there doing like a similar character to what he's doing now.
Yep.
But what's so funny is like he's actually a very thoughtful, soft-spoken person. And half the comments on his interview on our YouTube is like either he's doing his white voice for the white man, or like, oh, man, I didn't know he talks like a square, like, or he's doing a fake voice, like. All of his followers think he actually talks like his character on social media. It's really funny to see it in real time.
He has good strategies. Like, if you really watch what he does on Instagram, every video he posts, he goes live right before he posts it.
Yep, and he's like, comment, post, and tag. He like...
Yeah, comment, post, tag, engagement. And he shows himself commenting to all of them. So, I mean, that makes you want to be like, oh, I want to say something. He's going to reply to me. I want to say something, you know? So that just builds the whole algorithm. And also, because when you go live on Instagram, that story thing, it stays in the front no matter what. It doesn't go... So you're going to see that the whole time while you're on your phone. So, oh, he has a new video. I got to check it out. So he's very, very smart the way he advertises himself.
And he does it. He does it also where he'll make a post that says new vid, and it's like a screenshot of. So these are all things we can learn from, you know. And I'd have to put my ego aside and be like, all right, I'm going to go live. And then it's like four people, two of them are my parents. And I'm like, go comment, like, and tag everyone, you know, it's like, or whatever. He's like scrolling through thousands of people. I'd be like,
thousands of people,
get it, y'all. But that's part of the hustle. It's part of the grind to build up. But it's cool to, and it's good to observe what is working for people. You know, like you mentioned Country Wayne earlier.
Country Wayne.
A lot of his stuff is serialized, so it's like a character that you're following through a couple like
him
episodes.
Too. Like, I don't know how he does it. He posts like 5-minute videos every day.
Well, a lot of those people now, I haven't had Country Wayne on yet, but I mean, a lot of them now run like a studio. I mean, they have like, they have like writers, and they have like a production schedule where it's like, on this day, we're recording 5 skits and then we're going to release them in this sequence. Like, it's a well-oiled machine, but you know,
it is a machine. Just like Andrew Schultz too. He has his own studio and, and everything. He came a long way too. And same thing with social media. I know you had him on here earlier.
Yeah. We're gonna have to get him back now that he's
that was a very one of my favorite episodes you did, you know. He had some good tips. And cause I kind of used his strategy too with like my crowd work. I would post stand-up videos with but just crowd work. So you're saving material, but you're still getting, you know, your point across. And the local people love it because my shows, they know that I film every show. I have 3 different camera angles and one of my friends is on a gimbal. So I film all the interactions with the crowd work and they notice that. So they're very talkative at my shows too. And they want to be part of the show and in the camera when I post it, you know? So,
oh, that's awesome.
Like I would get comments. They're like, oh, where's brought a bill, like that one interaction, can you post that one? And I was like, yeah, I got it, I'm gonna edit it soon, you know. So they would remember what would happen at the shows and they want me to post about it. So
I mean, some of his most popular videos are just the crowd work stuff.
It's all crowd work. Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's another way to like fill time as a stand up is doing crowd work, and the people love it, you know, like the audience.
I've seen him live at Blue Note, and he had like 20 minutes of Hawaii material, and it's like material where you're like, how does this guy know this? He's not even from here. This is like really, really local jokes. You can check it out on his YouTube. He posted the whole 20 minutes of, I think it's like Hawaii got these jokes of him performing in Hawaii.
Wow.
And does
material, check that out.
Which I, in my opinion, would gain your fan base a lot in Hawaii. And that's what Jokoi did too. He has a lot of Hawaii material, which is why he's like a god here in Hawaii, you know, because they think he's one of us, you know. And we're also like, how does he know this? He's not even from here, you know. Even Gabriel too. Gabriel Iglesias has a lot of Hawaii jokes.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I think that's my advice. If you ever come to Hawaii, just have like maybe 10 minutes of Hawaii material. And I can give you some tips of what to say or what the lingo around here.
I feel like I'm coming to build a resort or something. That's what I was like. I'm coming into. It's like you're land, building to turn into a resort here. Right?
That's what I feel like all like the real experienced comics do when they tour is they open up with some local jokes no matter where they're at and win the audience over right off the beginning.
Yep.
That's I feel like Andrew Schultz does that a lot because I watch a lot of his crowd work stuff, and it's a lot of them is about what city he's in too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So that's a great tip to use as a road comic.
Well, as we land this plane here, please promote where the Hot Breathverse can follow you or contact you if they heard this episode and they're like, oh, this was amazing. I want to reach out and ask a question or just show gratitude for coming on the show.
You can follow me on Instagram at Tumua_TUMUA_. And then I did underscore because someone has Tumua already. I don't know who it is. So it's just the underscore.
No.
Or you can go on my website at TumuaComedy.com. I post everything on social media where I'm going to be performing at, my videos, my skits. YouTube, you can catch me at Tumua Tuine, and Facebook, Tumua Tuine as well. So,
well, Tumua, thank you so much for being on here, my friend. It's so cool to connect with you through a DM of you asking me a podcasting question to now you're on the podcast sharing your story and hopefully inspiring other people to, like, you know, start taking their career into their own hands. You've done it, you're just getting started. I don't want to come off as if I'm saying you did it, man. It's all cruise control from here. Like, you're still just getting started, but just to be able to recognize how far you've come in such a short amount of time, but also recognize the amount of work that you put in to do it as well. So thank you for the inspiration and thank you for sharing your time with us.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you, Hot Breathverse and Hot Brethrens and Sisterins.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be here. I was a fan, you know, so I still am a fan. And let me know if you ever come to Hawaii. We can hook something up, or if I'm ever up near Atlanta or not. But
absolutely. Yeah. Well, go for
it. Appreciate it.
Hot Breathverse. Go reach out to Tumua. Check out his content, but do reach out to him and let him know you heard him on the show and that you loved what he said. And we'll be back next week with another Hot Breath.
Yep.
You can do it. Can you do it? Do you know it?
Hot. I remember the other one you did, the Hot Breath. Do you still do that or no?
Yeah, I do it at the end now.
At the end. Oh yeah.
I do it at the end. I do it for the people that listen to the outro. I'll end the episode.
You gotta stay after the credits like a Marvel movie.
Exactly. I used to do it at the beginning and then my wife got in my head and said it was cringy. So now I only do it at the end.
That's your signature. You got to keep that.
I should do it again. I should bring it back to the beginning.
Good. Bring it back. Like how you brought back the dab.
Hey, I legit thought that was going to be my social media trip. I was like, I'm just going to dab on social media and I'm going to bring it back like Backpack Kid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the dab guy. And then I did it for like a week and was like, oh, well, it didn't go viral. So never mind.
That's okay, just keep trying. Just try something else. Yeah.
I don't know though, the dab, I mean, it sticks. People that saw it remember it, so maybe I should.
I remembered it. I mean, I think what you're doing is great because I'm like all the way in Hawaii and I heard about your podcast, you know, so you're reaching people, and like the comedy community here, we know about your podcast too, so we talk about it and we use it for tips and all that too. So keep doing what you're doing. I mean, this is huge. I mean, I'm a really big fan of the podcast, and it's an honor to be on here. So
wow,
thank you again.
Wow, thank you, man. It's cool to see the tips in action. It's like you learned and applied, and now you're on the show. That's so cool.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning, my friend. We'll definitely be doing some shows together for sure.
For sure, yeah.
All right, Hot Breathiverse, go reach out to Tamua. Let him know you enjoyed hearing him on Hot Breath Podcast, and take his tips and put them into action. I would love to hear what you've learned from this episode. Reach out to me on social media, just like Tamua did when we met a few years ago. Reach out to me on social media. Let me know your favorite part about this episode, and let's start building this community all the way from Hawaii to the mainland to around the world. Let's expand the Hot Breathiverse this year and make us no longer comedy's best kept secret, but comedy's best educational resource. Speaking of which, we do have classes and workshops available. If you're looking to learn more in-depth comedy tips, those are all linked in the description of this episode. But until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.